that's you'll see that clip so many times in your life. Watch the whole film as well because it's amazing. But unfortunately, it's become a kind of cliched Christian film clip. But because it's so good, whatever comes out of those gates, we have a better chance of survival if we stand together. Whatever the enemy looks like for you, we have a better chance of survival if we stand together. And it is as simple as that. All we need to do is be united in Christ. You know, we've talked about the fact that at the start of the week, I challenged you to maybe just think, like, what if, yeah? What if there is this enemy? What does that mean for me? And what if there is, even better, there is a king who is on my side that is victorious? Like, what if? What if we took God seriously? And we've looked a bit at the kind of specifics of what that means about defending ourselves. And this is the kind of climax of a book that is largely about community. Actually, if you read the book of Ephesians, which is a really, really cool book, I basically just think this is the climax, right? It's all about community. It's all just building up to this statement that we stand together, united in Christ. And what's cool about that film is that they manage to defeat the enemy without any offense. It's all defense. All they do is stand, and the enemy is defeated. All they do is stand and trust in their hero. For them, it's Maximus. For us, it's Jesus, and he's a much better hero. He's already defeated the enemy. All we have to do is stand with him. Amazing. I don't know if you've ever felt like you've been part of a movement or part of a team that is trying to achieve something that is bigger than you might achieve on your own. I run a bit. My tutor group challenged me this summer to run and cycle a total of 200 miles, which I've not quite managed, but I think I will next week. I run a bit, but my best times have come when I've been running half marathons. My best 10K times, normally run 10K, have come in a half marathon. I was meant to run the Reading Half Marathon because Jake Ross, legend that he is, wanted to run the Reading Half Marathon and didn't want to do it on his own. I was like, sweet, we're brothers, we can make this happen. He was not very well for a while and couldn't run it. And so I ended up running it on my own. But do you know what was really, really cool in that time was that I felt buoyed along. I felt carried along by the people around me on that day. I felt like I was being pushed to go faster, and I ended up running a faster 10K than I would have run if I'd have only been running 10K across the first 10K of what was actually 21K. It's weird that, like, physically that shouldn't happen, but what happened was the people around me carried me on. And the thing is, like, you're in competition, but not with each other. You carry each other along. I had basically tried to high-five someone at every mile marker. A lot of people weren't into it, but I got a few. Every time we ran past a mile marker, I was like, hey, well done, whoever was near me at the time. We've run, you know, 5 miles. And everyone again, they were like, yeah, sweet, nice one, buddy. And then we were like, see you later. Carried on. And we just, like, together, because we weren't in competition with each other, we were all in competition with our own times. And so it is with the Christian faith. We're not in competition with each other, but we are in a competition. There is a battle, there is a fight going on, and there is an enemy that we are competing against. But what's beautiful is that we have beaten him already when we are standing firm in Christ. We are united together and we fight for one another. I think in life we tend to go with the crowd. We tend to kind of do what is going on unless we actively choose not to. I think sometimes we're carried along by the crowd. And it's really hard to actually stand up to the crowd and to do something different, to be different. And in a world where the crowd is not choosing God, and remember, if we're not choosing God, then that means we're choosing not God. If we're in a world that is not choosing God, and we're doing what the world is doing, accidentally and just by kind of force of habit, perhaps, we're choosing not God. And it's really hard to just go, well, I want to fight that, and turn yourself around. But when you see your brothers and sisters around you, and when you see you're not the only person trying to turn around, it becomes easier. You encourage them, and they encourage you, and between you, you kind of work this thing out. There's a nice verse in Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, and it's often used in the context of marriage. I haven't got it on the screen, and I probably should have done, sorry, but it says, a cord of three strands is not easily broken. It talks a bit about two are better than one, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And we tend to sort of think that means that you know, it's about relationship, and the third strand is God that unites us in you know, in a kind of loving, you know, romantic relationship. And yes, it means that, but it also talks about one person, if an enemy assaults them, can be overcome, but two people cannot easily be overcome. It says if one person falls down, it's good to have someone to help them up. It's not written about exclusively about romantic relationships. It's written about brotherhood in Christ. Sorry for the gender pronoun, word, whatever. It's about unity in Christ. We help each other up when we fall down. You know, it's so cool that the first thing that when we were talking about what good stuff's gone on, the first thing was someone just came up and said, you carried me through a difficult time because you're good people. That's exactly it. I'm almost wasting my time even telling you this stuff because you're already doing it. You're already so good at it. And I've seen so many more examples of it throughout the week. We have to choose to pick each other up. We have to choose to be united. And it means accountability, which can be painful and difficult. But it also then means victory in Christ when we don't give in to sins and temptations because your brothers and your sisters are helping you through it. There's loads of cool stuff throughout the book of Ephesians. And I don't know how you feel about it when we see all this kind of like family imagery, stuff like God's holy people or the church or the holy temple of the Lord, the body. He says we are no longer foreigners and strangers. There's loads of really cool language all the way through that book. But basically the point is this, that we are united and together we are stronger against an enemy who wants to pull you down. You're much harder to pull down when you are with brothers and sisters that are pulling you up. I kind of want to just read you a few prayers, because there's so much in the Bible about prayer and how we pray and what prayer looks like. And what's really, really cool is that, and we had this discussion yesterday, the Lord's Prayer, did you ever notice, is all in the plural. Forgive us our sins, us, our. It's not me, my. It's us, our. We're in this together. This whole journey is about unity. This is cool. Right, check this out from James 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Okay, both ends of the spectrum. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then it gives the example of Elijah. But actually, it just basically says that we have to pray for one another. It's good to pray alone, and it is good to pray to God and privately and in your heart, but it's good to pray together too. There's this direction from Jesus in Luke 11 on how we should pray. That's, you know, one of the Gospels where we find the Lord's Prayer. He just turns to his disciples and says, when you pray, pray like this. And I think it's a model of prayer. It's good to pray word for word, but I think it's a model of prayer that is, we're united in prayer, we pray for each other, we pray together, we praise God for a bit, and then we ask God for more for a bit, not selfishly or greedily, but because he gives. Okay, what a cool model of prayer. And then he goes on to basically say that when you pray, God gives you. He gives to you out of the generosity and his love for you. He hears your prayer and he responds so much better than we can imagine. And this is why Charlotte keeps going on about expecting so much, because God gives so much. Again, Jesus, there's this really, really cool prayer. Actually, we're basically just going to go into a time of prayer, but I just want to sort of show you two prayers that you might want to pray for each other. If you're not sure, if you don't know what you want someone to pray for you, then it might be one of these. And if you're not sure what to pray for someone else, then it might be one of these. Or if you're just not sure about prayer at all, then maybe you just want to read through these and sort of just say it to the walls and hope that there's something beyond them. Right, that might be okay too. Let's see what this says. This Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's praying for his people, right? My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Look at that. Jesus prays to the Father that we may be in that in that family too. Remember what I talked about with the genealogies and the fact that we're adopted into sonship. Jesus prays to the Father that we would be part of his family too, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be as one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I've made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and I myself may be in them. His whole prayer, Jesus prays this for us. How weird is that to think that Jesus prayed specifically for us to be in him? It's huge, isn't it? And you know, it's weird, and I was struck by it actually when Charlotte was talking a minute ago about you and how good you all are. And it's really hard to hear in the personal when we're talking in the plural, isn't it? Sometimes. But actually, I was so on board with what Charlotte was saying, and I knew that every single thing was true of every single one of you. That I, like, if any of your parents were to grab me at the end of the week and just be like, so how did X find the week? I'd be able to say, like, X like got stuck in this activity and like I saw God at work in their community aspect here, or you know, X I moved their bed to be in that room because he wanted to be in that community, or you know, like this person did this in the talent show, or like did or prayed for the first time, or whatever else. Like God is doing things in every single individual. We see it and it's so exciting. I actually just as we were singing, and then I did a little like celebration to myself because I turned around and I saw hands in the air, and I saw a family praising God together. And that is so powerful. That's so powerful. But we were all in it together. Even just being part of that is so exciting. God invites, Jesus invites us into him and him into us. How cool. So if you are not sure what to pray, just pray that you might be in him and he in you. Okay? That's a cool thing to pray in a minute. And then there's this. There's this beautiful prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians, this book that we've kind of been looking at a bit. This is Paul's prayer for the people of Ephesus, but I think it's a good prayer for the people of Deeper 2017. Let me pray it for you. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's huge, the fullness of God, you know. And in that that climax of this book, in verse 18, it says, on all occasions, pray for all of the Lord's people. It's all, in all times. It's not like every now and again. We don't pray enough. Like, the whole thing is prayer when we support one another. Just in those little moments of just, please support this person. I texted a friend when we were worshipping just now. He pointing to where I was sitting. When we were worshipping, when I was over there. When we were worshipping just now, to ask a friend to pray for us because I could see some people worshipping God. And I was like, that's cool. So I was just like, hey, we're worshipping God right now. Can you pray for us? I don't know. It's never occurred to me before to do that. But it just felt like it was the thing that we needed to do would just be to be praying. So I don't know what she's up to right now, but hopefully she's praying for us. I didn't disturb her day too much. I kind of don't care if I did, because hopefully now she's praying for us. Like, we've got to be praying on all occasions for all the Lord's people, because what happens when we are is that we're rooted and established in Christ, that we stand. And you remember, when we stand, when we resist the enemy, he flees. That's how we protect the salvation that Christ offers us. I've talked for longer than I meant to. I want us to do this. I want us to pray together. So I'm just going to hand over to Leela, but I want you just to be open to, if you've not prayed before, like, what if?